Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Welcome to Strong Tower Radio On Location. I'm your host, Tom Bezier, and I am in Big Rapids. We're at the Life Resources of Northern Michigan, and we are here to talk about the Pregnancy Resources Center that is here, but also a very big issue that is not only a statewide issue, but is a national issue. You may learn a lot about these two items. Our subject matter experts are the Executive Director of Life Resources of Northern Michigan, Bridget Roberts. Welcome back, Bridget.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me again. We appreciate you making the effort to do this.
Oh, you're very welcome. And we talked about the Cadillac Life Resources Center, and we'll be talking about it a little bit here today. But we also have a returning guest, which is the Legislative Director, Genevieve Marnon.
Hi, thank you very much. Right to Life of Michigan, thanks you for having us here. Hopefully we can bring something to the table in this discussion.
It's always an intelligent discussion when Genevieve is here. And we've met at your place, and you've met at our studio, and now we're meeting at Bridget's, one of her two clinics here, Life Resources of Northern Michigan. Let's have a word of prayer. Great Heavenly Father, we're going to be talking about important subjects. You care about life. You are the giver of life. And we're going to talk about life issues here today. Lord, I pray that our listeners, no matter where they currently stand, that they will respectfully, thoughtfully, listen to the voice, either if it affirms or if it is different than one's personal view, and see how our issues truly stand up, and be honest with us and be honest with God. Be with our discussion in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Bridget, tell us about this. You're the executive director over two centers, Life Resource of Northern Michigan Centers, one in Cadillac and one in Big Rapids. Tell us about the current clinic that we're here. You're in a college town.
Right. We're right beside Ferris University. And so during the school year, our clinic numbers definitely increase. And we're just thankful that we have a good collaboration with the college so that, again, as people find out they're pregnant, we're an easy go-to for that next step.
And informed decisions to be made. Also, tell us a little bit, I went to one of your events for the very first time. It's Strengthening Hope, and it's a fundraising banquet. It was totally amazing. We go to the Life Resource Center banquets annually, and each one has its place, but I had no idea the strength and the conviction of that particular organization. You raised close to $100,000 in that one evening. Tell us more about, it was a time of faith. It was a time of hope. It was talking about the love of God for every single individual, whether it be the father, the mother, the baby. It's a holistic view. Can you add anything? I hope I didn't take away your thunder.
No, it was such a fun night, so thanks for coming. But the celebration that night was this idea that we in the community can partner with one another to come alongside of somebody who's walking through a surprise or unplanned pregnancy, right? Because we know that when she or he has support people saying, I know this isn't what you expected. And the response is not anger and shame, but it is grace and love and say, we know you can do this because we're going to walk alongside of you and come and do it with you. That's what we do within the center walls. But for that to extend out into our communities, that's going to change everything for her and for him and that baby. And again, every single one of them has value.
What impressed me is almost every time you referred to the two adults, the parents of this child, you included the father.
I mean, it's important. That's part of his DNA too, right? We know that when two humans procreate, it's creating a human. And so part of mom and part of dad is coming together at that moment of conception. And we're not ignoring how this feels to him. And in fact, we've had dads in our center before crying and weeping and mourning the fact that they wanted to raise that baby and asked to raise that baby. And were not given that chance by the mom.
That is one of the hardest calls I get in my office. I get dads who will call and say, what can I do? What can I do? Can I stop the abortion from happening? And I say, you know, I strongly urge you to support her, beg her, plead with her, tell her you will be there, help get her resources, because unfortunately...
I'm going through this with you.
With you. And unfortunately, the father is cut out of the abortion equation under the law. Under the law. He has no say. So I encourage men, especially men who are listening, that the first voice that woman hears needs to be one of support. I'm going to help you. I'm going to support you. Not, well, it's your decision. And that's what we're told. Men are told, just let her decide. Well, that's a huge responsibility to place directly on her shoulders. And it's, then she it's bears not,
it,
the...
It was shared up until this point, and then it said, it's all on you, sister.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So including the men, I think, is hugely important, and I appreciate the centers that do that. And all of the nearly 100 pregnancy centers around the state have programming for men, and I'm glad that they do.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that Genevieve and our listeners can go back to listening to our archive programs on Strong Tower Radio, we were actually at your legislative office, I believe, when you said that the decision, the greatest influencers besides the mother is who?
The father.
The father.
The father of the child is...
Because are you with me or not, or am I doing this alone?
Yeah. I mean, Bridget, you would know. You deal with it on the front lines every day.
Absolutely. One story that comes to mind quickly is, a couple that's living together and they both have children involved from other relationships, and they come in to do the ultrasound together. He grabs her hand when he sees the baby and the heartbeat and says, well, I guess this takes abortion off the table for us. And when she came back later, she told us that meant so much to her, because not only did he in that moment say, you don't have to get an abortion, because she really didn't want to, but knew that that probably would be what was needed by him to stay there. But he's in that moment when he grabbed her hand and said, I guess this takes abortion off the table, it was him saying, I'm keeping you too and your kids, and we're going to do this thing together.
Huge. Hugely powerful.
And I think you shared a story in the Cadillac Life Resources thing about the fathers, and this is so important. Mm-hmm. This is just so important.
I think Genevieve mentioned that we have resources available. You know, we have fatherhood classes as well. And that story that you're referring to was one of our dads that came in, and he was beaming, talking about how he learned to look his baby in the eyes when he was holding him. And so he said, I know I'm being a good dad and making a good connection, and I wouldn't have known to do that if I hadn't taken class with you. So it is important.
It's very important. And, you know, doubling back to what you were saying about the dads being so important, because abortion is a choice, women have a choice. In Michigan, you can have an abortion for any reason or no reason at all the way through your entire 9 months of pregnancy. Mm-hmm. But for choice to truly exist, women have to be given every opportunity to make a choice for life. And often now, because abortion has been baked into our culture for the last 50 plus years, a choice is now a duty. And that's what a lot of women feel, like, oh, I have to do this. They don't even want to have the abortion, but society is demanding it, the father of the baby is demanding it, her school commitment, her work commitment, all of these things are pushing her to do this thing that she doesn't want to do. And the pregnancy centers are saying, listen, we can overcome this obstacle. We can help you overcome that obstacle. We will walk with you. And I think that is such a needed voice in our society. And I appreciate everything you guys do. It's amazing.
Thank you. We feel like it's a privilege to be a part of this, but I would even go as that next step and say, you know, for us here beside Ferris University, they really do a good job too of providing extra help and support. If there is a mom who becomes pregnant, they really step up and do a lot of extra things to be helpful. And that was one, the case of one mom not too long ago that we told her story, and she was so thankful for all that Ferris did to help her be able to have a child and keep her goals of education in mind. So she was very fortunate to not only to have the help of the center, but also her family and her campus.
So I'm going to tell a story.
Okay, go for it.
People don't know. I graduated 7 months pregnant, graduated from college 7 months pregnant with my second child. But when I was married. But I had, you can have an unplanned pregnancy even being married, FYI,
that's right?
It can happen.
There's plenty of those.
And I found myself, I was at the end of my junior year, and I went into labor on a day that I had a final exam, and I had to incomplete two classes. They had no resources. I had to figure this all out on my own, and I really worked. We had a law that was passed. It's called the Pregnant and Parenting Student Services Fund, to try and get funding for that so that college campuses can have a place where a pregnant student can go to say, how do I renegotiate my housing contract? I don't know what to do. How do I take an incomplete because I'm going to give birth in the middle of a semester and I don't want to lose my credits? What can I do for an accommodation after I have a baby? Those kinds of things. I'm so happy to hear that Ferris State is working those out, because women need to know that being pregnant is not the end of your college career.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, as when, and Bridget can confirm this, what goes through the head of a person, it's not the right time of life, and how you frame those arguments, how you frame the arguments, and then those around you. We've talked about the importance of the father, and you've said in the past, the mother is the other advisor that has a huge influence on if they keep the baby or not. How you frame that, my world has come to an end, and saying it is not at the end. Yeah. In some ways, it might be the beginning of a better chapter.
It breaks my heart. I actually knew someone who proudly told me that she dragged, quote unquote, her words, dragged her teenage daughter to the abortion clinic and forced her to have an abortion. And, you know, even if you're pro-choice, I don't think anybody wants coerced abortions. Fortunately, we do still have a law that says it's illegal to coerce someone into having an abortion. Now, obviously, this story was from many years ago. But I thought, how sad that was your grandchild.
Mm-hmm.
Abortion affects everything. It doesn't just affect the mom. We think of this as an individual choice, but it affects the father, it affects the grandchildren, the grandparents, it affects the siblings, and it affects society. I tell people, my sons are in their 30s. 20% of their peers are not here.
20%.
20% of their peers are not here because of abortion.
And 20% of them are not contributing to Social Security.
And they're not getting married and having the next generation of children. So it's generational. And I think people are so in the moment when they find themselves in a crisis pregnancy that they're not thinking about all of the societal damage that we've done.
Societal damage. It even has economics in first world countries. They're having population decline, and who's going to support the senior, the Social Security? But let's turn a corner here. We're here to talk about issues, statewide issues, and we're talking about the abortion pill. Is it harmless?
Talk
about a softball home run pitch.
Well, and I think it's a great segue, because obviously pregnancy centers, and many of our pregnancy centers, are now equipped as full medical to provide abortion pill reversal. I don't think people realize that the abortion pill is not a single pill. It is a combination of two different types of pills. The first is mifepristone, which starves the baby of the nutrients. And then the second pill is misoprostol, which causes cramping and contractions and expels the baby. If a woman, because of pressure, because of whatever, she thinks she needs to do this, she takes that first pill and says, oh my gosh, what have I done? I don't want to do this. If she doesn't take the second pill, oftentimes, in fact, 64% of the time, that first pill's effects can be reversed with doses of a very common hormone called progesterone, which has been in use for over 50 years, safely used in pregnant women. So many of the pregnancy centers are partnering with OBGYNs to provide abortion pill reversal. And I know, Bridget, your center is working toward that. Is that right? I don't want to speak for you.
Yeah.
Well, currently we hand out the card that, again, gives everybody the chance to call the number to find out where your closest center will be that can do the scan. And again, just any kind of physician or OB that can help with that. Getting the progesterone going within that first 24, 72 hours is huge for, and increases the percentage of that baby continuing to be nourished and grow. Because again, if she changes that choice, regrets that choice, it's not a wrong option to take more progesterone that does nothing damaging.
That's correct. And the abortion pill
reversal.org,
and it will put across the country, any place across the country, they will direct a woman who has taken the first pill and changed her mind. Again, choice.
Yes.
You have a choice. You have a choice to change your mind. You get to do that, and we can help you. And I want people to realize that the abortion pill, it can in many cases be reversed.
And let's talk to Bridget about this fundraiser, Strengthening Hope. You passed out that card to everybody in the audience. Why did you pass out a card?
Well, again, abortion pill is so easily available now. It's not required to get an ultrasound. It's not required to go through a physician. It's not required to even get, if you are pregnant, you can have that available and for purchase even if you're not pregnant. And so that is on people's shelves and they're ready to take it at a moment's notice, or if they wonder if they're pregnant. So again, it has to go beyond us to the people surrounding her, surrounding him, to know how to help instantly when somebody is saying that they may be pregnant or they just took the pill and now they regret it.
Just to emphasize that point, I knew I had to have heart surgery. And I've been around the medical, I was in the administrative side of the medical profession. I knew all the steps, I knew all that. But it was my cousin that came along and coached me through each one of the steps of doing research, and I found out I could have robotic surgery and healed faster, and it was a great thing. But you, those counselors that you have, somebody that has that card, when you're in the midst of that, the vector or the point there, you aren't thinking about all your options. You're thinking about the weight of the world on your shoulders, perceived or real. And sometimes you need somebody to talk to you through and remind you that there are other options that are available. Genevieve, talk about this abortion pill. Is it safe?
Well, according to a new study that just came out recently from the Ethics and Public Policy Center, what they did is they took real-world data. Over 850,000 medical records were
examined.
This isn't
guest data. This is exactly what happened.
This is exactly what happened. So they took these. So in some states, like California, for example, the government will pay for abortions. So they have robust data, medical records. And so the EPPC took all of these records, and they examined them, and what they realized is nearly 11% of all women who take the abortion pill will have a serious adverse reaction, serious adverse event.
10%? 11%?
10.9. You want to be specific. 10.9. Okay. And of those women, 40% will end up in the emergency room. So this is 22 times higher than what the FDA's safety data shows.
You mean if any medication has this level of activity, that needs to be examined?
And so multiple organizations, including Right to Life of Michigan, have signed on to a letter asking the FDA to reevaluate the safety studies that were used when they approved of the abortion pill for use in America.
They're saying something doesn't add up.
Something doesn't add up when it's 22 times more dangerous than what your data is showing.
Well, just think about it. What is acceptable? Double, triple, five times? That's probably over the limit. 22 times, it's like we need to do a serious study on this.
We need to do a serious study. And what happened was during the, because you have to do all of the clinical data when you get a, when any kind of medication is approved by the FDA, you have to submit safety studies, right? Well, the problem is what they did in these safety studies is they used, quote, and this is from their own data, mostly healthy women, substantially healthy women. Well, in the real world, we have obesity and heart disease and diabetes, and we have chronic inflammation and illnesses and all of these things. So in real world use, we are now seeing what the abortion pill will do to women. So we think women have the right to have this data, and yet in the state of Michigan, the abortion reporting law was repealed. The abortion complication reporting law was repealed.
Who gets that information based on that law when it was in effect?
Everybody. It was.
So now you're not required to tell people, this is the risk that if you take this pill, this is a risk.
Correct. In fact, what we saw,
this is kind of like an exception to the rule. Everybody, every other medication gets this precaution. You watch the television advertisements, and it's getting to almost half of it is talking about all the reasons. You say, why would a person ever take that drug? But that is cut out of the commercial.
Well, they don't even have commercials on this, but the point is correct. They no longer have to provide abortion complication reporting in the state of Michigan. And what we saw was they also repealed the health and safety standards for abortion clinics. They're no longer inspected by the government. They're no longer inspected by the state. They're no longer licensed. And what we saw is a 38% spike in complications in the state of Michigan. Now, that's separate from this EPPC study that showed the spike in complications from the abortion pill. So what did they do? The next thing they did was they got rid of the law that showed transparency on complications. We think, you know, again, I'm going to go back to whether I like it or not, whether you like it or not, women in Michigan have the right to have an abortion for any reason or no reason at all. But for choice to truly exist, they should be given this information. This data really needs to be made public. So we've encouraged the FDA director to re-examine the safety standards because under COVID, they had an emergency provision that said you no longer have to get the pill handed to you by a medical professional. We can send it in the mail.
And to talk about the what happens when you don't have some guidance, some direction. It's like when you go to the pharmacy, they ask you, do you have any questions about this? This is eliminating that question.
Well, it's being sent in the mail with no physical exam for the woman. And you got to remember, the abortion pill was only approved for use up to 10 weeks gestation. Well, many women, and Bridget can probably speak to the clients that come in her center here, many women don't know how far along they are. They're off by a little bit. And so you're off by 4 weeks, and now you're over the gestational limits. Those risks increase substantially, and there's nobody checking. Ectopic pregnancies are a very real phenomenon. They happen in 1-2% of all pregnancies. The abortion pill is contraindicated for women with an ectopic pregnancy. It can be very, very dangerous. no ultrasound to rule that out. It's dangerous to ship these in the mail, and I could go on and on about how they fall into the wrong hands. There's a lawsuit going on right now for a man who obtained the abortion pills and shoved them into his pregnant girlfriend's drink. Mm-hmm. And she miscarried, lost the baby. But how many other abusers are getting their hands on these abortion pills? And it's no longer a choice now for these women. It's not a choice if it's being spiked in your drink. And that's a problem. So I don't know if you've seen any of that kind of stuff, Bridget.
Oh, absolutely. We have people reaching out often, scared and alone, and their providers aren't available to talk to them or say, call back in 3 months. Was one side of that. The other side is what you were talking about, where people are, again, high percentage of the people that come in our center are off on their timeline. They're further along than they think they are. And they're having babies at home and being surprised at how big they are, or they see a heartbeat.
Well, they're having abortions at home.
Yes.
Alone in their bathroom.
Right.
I tell you what, that particular thing is, a miscarriage is a great tragedy, but this abortion pill and the resulting thing is a miscarriage, and it's all alone by yourself. Make that real.
And to Bridget's point, in many cases, they have to witness now
a decision they've made.
And in many cases, a fully formed baby. And what do I do with it?
Right.
And that's tragic. And yeah.
And again, we've had people say what they do because they're shocked by that. And so, again, one person putting it in a box and putting it up on her shelf because she just didn't know. She was paralyzed in that moment of what to do.
Yeah. All brought to you by mail order abortion pills. And so for the sake of women, mm-hmm. we really feel that the FDA should pull back that carte blanche ability to just ship them anywhere, anytime through the mail. Women really should be examined. It's for their own benefit, their own health.
I just think, again, everybody in the community should know that if there is the ability to go get a free ultrasound that confirms pregnancy, it can show viability, prove if there's a heartbeat or not, show exactly how far along this pregnancy is by days and weeks, and then show for sure, is this a pregnancy, is this baby in the uterus for sure, for free. Anybody can find that out, whether they want an abortion or want to be pregnant, they can find that out for free. Why would people not want to utilize that at this stage?
Because they don't know about our wonderful pregnancy resource centers, and that's why we're doing this show today.
That's right, and you're listening to Strong Tower Radio On Location. I'm here with Bridget Roberts. She's the executive director of the Life Resources of Northern Michigan, and also with the legislative director of Right to Life, Genevieve Marnon. I'm your host, Tom Majeur, and we'll be back right after this break to talk about things that few other people talk about. We'll be right back.
The Bible and God's character are under attack like never before. Here at Strong Tower Radio, we are proud to hold up the Bible as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We believe the Bible is the Word of God and contains the good news of God's character and His great plan of salvation for mankind. If you know and believe this to be true, won't you help Strong Tower Radio proclaim the truth about our God and His Word, the Bible? To do that, go to www.strongtowerradio.org, and there, on our secure website, you will find a donate button. Click on that and give as the Lord directs. Thank you for listening and supporting Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
We're back with Strong Tower Radio On Location. We're at Life Resources in Big Rapids. We're right next to a university here, a public university. And we're here with the director, Bridget Roberts.
Correct.
And with Genevieve Marnon. She's the legislative director of Right to Life of Michigan. We closed out the last section talking about the mail order abortion pills. This is a very, very sobering thing. If you know, it can look like it's just like any other mail order drug, but it's not like every other. There's probably no other prescription out there has such responsibilities and life impact as this one, and it has no administration. It's not with a local physician. It's a self-administered. It's just, there's so many ramifications of this.
So when the FDA originally approved the use of mifepristone, the abortion pill in the United States in the year 2000, they approved it under a rare thing called Subpart H. Subpart H was brought in. It was a law that was passed that allowed for quick access, quick approval for AIDS medications and cancer medications for life-threatening illnesses. And in order for them to use Subpart H, they had to recategorize pregnancy as a life-threatening condition. That's how they snuck it in. And since then, they've had what's called a REMS. A REMS is called it's from the FDA. It's a risk evaluation and mitigation strategy. There are 63 drugs that are approved by the FDA that have a REMS out of the thousands of drugs. REMS are placed on drugs that have a heightened safety profile. So they know that the abortion pill can be misused if it's put in the wrong hands. They know that women who take abortion pills beyond the recommended gestational age are going to have serious adverse events. They know that it's not indicated for women with ectopic pregnancies. So this is why they put this REMS on this particular drug. And so for the FDA to just, in my opinion, carelessly remove the in-person dispensing and ship it through the mail, you're tempting fate. And now we've got these groups called Hey Jane and Aid Access. They're not even necessarily in Michigan. They're not even necessarily in the United States. There's no medical exam. You can go online. You don't talk to anybody. It's all done online. There's no age verification. There's no gestational verification. And these pills are shipped to you in cute little boxes. And there's no follow-up provider. If you have a problem, you're on your own. I don't know how that's women-centric. I don't know how anybody can think that this is good for women's health. And even if you think that abortion is a great choice, is this really what you want for women, to be left alone with no medical care, no intervention, no medical exam? It's dangerous, and I think it's a problem. And I really, really do hope that the FDA will pull back those dispensing requirements. In the meantime, we're seeing some states have decided through their elected representatives that they don't want abortion in their state. And yet other states have opened up the floodgates, like Michigan. It's a constitutional right in the state of Michigan. But what we're seeing is in some states where abortion is readily available, the doctors there, the medical providers, abortion providers, are flagrantly extorting, abusing the laws of other states by flaunting the laws of other states by mailing abortion pills into states where they've decided they don't want abortion.
And yet, people have made a decision, and these people are skirting the law.
They're skirting the law, and on top of it, they're being protected by their own government. So New York is a great example. There's an abortion provider in New York who's been flagrantly disregarding the laws of other states.
Kind of a Dr. Kevorkian.
Kind of, yeah. Well, Dr. Carpenter is her name, and she's been shipping abortion pills to states where the abortion pill is not legal, and to minors without parental knowledge or consent. And she is being sued right now by Attorney General of Texas. Well, the governor of New York is trying to protect her. And so, again, whether you agree with abortion or don't agree with abortion, the idea that states should have the right to have the laws that they want with their elected representatives and not have other people flaunt those laws is something we're going to need to work out in this country from a legal standpoint. And there is a lawsuit that was filed, including many of our pregnancy centers joined that lawsuit. It's called Save the Storks, is the name of a pregnancy center group. And they have filed a lawsuit to prevent the targeting of pregnancy centers and to prevent this kind of stuff from happening. And it just got filed, so we don't exactly know where that is. But we are seeing pregnancy centers being demonized and targeted by states. So, for example, New Jersey had on their state website advising women to stay away from pregnancy centers, calling them fake clinics. And I think that's defamation. It's like defamation. So we haven't seen that here in Michigan, though I did find something disturbing on the Michigan website, a video that was put out under the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services by a group that referred to our pregnancy centers as fake clinics. They're not fake clinics. They have medical providers. They have licensed medical providers in many cases, and there's nothing fake about them.
You have a wonderful example, Genevieve, of to make this practical as if you take away the emotions of this hot issue, one state superseding the emotions, the actions, decisions of the people of another state. What are some of those examples you could compare?
Well, it's really hard to compare, you know, to this because it's such a serious topic. But you know, I grew up in Michigan, across the bridge from Canada, and it was legal to drink at 19 in Canada. And if you wanted to go across the bridge to have a drink, you could legally do so. But can you imagine if the bar owners of Canada shipped liquor across to Michigan to minors?
Using UPS, using U.S. Postal Service, Fed Express, shipping it directly to your kids that may actually have a remote location and a different fault, not at home.
Yeah.
And doing it.
The bottom line, and I know that's a really terrible comparison to abortion pills, but the reality is the states have the right to have their own laws. And these shield laws, they're called shield laws. In fact, Michigan had a law that was introduced, a bill that was introduced last term.
That's why you're at the state legislature talking about these issues.
Correct. And we would have been a state like New York where the government of Michigan would have defended, protected.
Against the neighboring states that have different laws than we do.
Correct. So, you know, we really need to look at this. This is going to be, I think, a kind of a groundbreaking lawsuit, depending on how that turns out. But I do want to go back to this idea that these are fake clinics, because it is what's been done in other states, and I haven't seen it yet here in Michigan other than that one video on our state website. But the abortion industry does not like the competition from our pregnancy centers. They realize how effective the pregnancy centers are in giving women a choice for life. Because let's be honest, the abortion clinic, it's a money-making proposition for them.
Its purpose is not for life.
It's not, and it's about making money. And in fact, Planned Parenthood of Michigan recently closed 4 clinics in our state with the express purpose of doing away with non-abortion services. No cancer screenings, no STI testing and treatment. They want to do telemedicine abortions because that's where they make their money. They want to increase their telemedicine services by 40% and offer telemedicine abortions 7 days a week. That's their business model.
Talk about increasing market share.
Yeah.
And so, providing access where the brick and mortars do not go.
But now we have pregnancy centers in pretty much every community. We have about 100 pregnancy centers. There are 21 abortion clinics in the state of Michigan and over 100 pregnancy centers. And I'll tell you what, the abortion industry does not want our pregnancy centers, and this is why we're seeing them being demonized in other states. And I really hope that Save the Storks lawsuit will prevent these states from doing that, because you guys offer amazing services.
I think anytime someone from the community that doesn't know what we do again, whether they believe that abortion should be a choice legally or not, or they are for abortion or not, when they come in and get a tour of the center, just to see how we serve people and the information that we provide free of charge to them, everyone has always been grateful that we exist. Again, whether they have heard that we're fake in the past or not, or didn't know what we exactly did, once they come in and see what we provide for free to anybody and the care in which we do that, I have never had someone say, oh, I wish you guys didn't exist. Every single person will always say, I think more people need to know that you exist for them.
Two things that came out of this banquet we referred to in the first section is, number one, your numbers are up huge. And part of that is has to do with the organization that Genevieve represents, Right to Life, is a campaign of information. Do you want to talk about that?
Oh, right. Our Life the Other Choice ad campaign.
I love
campaign.
That. What a great...
Life the Other Choice.
Somebody deserves a medal for that terminology.
Well, we realize that women... We need to meet women where they are. And in many cases, they are contemplating abortion. And they don't know that we have resources available. And so we've been running these ads. And when we ran the initial ad run, we saw a 91% increase to calls and texts to our helpline. So we have a
100% increase.
Because we're
just the information.
The information. We're providing a 1-800 number where they can call or text, which will connect them with one of our over 100 pregnancy centers in the state. And the second week, we saw a 143% increase in calls and texts. It was amazing.
The saturation point.
People are hungry for support. Women want choices. They want to make a choice for life. And they don't know about the pregnancy center. So this has been a great partnership, I think, between the legal, legislative, political side of Right to Life and the service side that the pregnancy centers mm-hmm. provide. Millions of dollars of free goods and services are provided by the pregnancy center. Diapers, car seats, clothing,
education.
Yeah.
You got to listen to the Cadillac Life Resources program on Strong Tower Radio, SDR.FM, under audio archives, and hear what they're doing in Cadillac. And that's just one of 100 places across the state. The other thing that you shared during that banquet was how you deal with a person. I was just amazed. I've been to a lot of marriage clinics and seminars. I love marriage retreats. We go to them just about every year. And listening, communicating, hearing what the other person says. I heard the way you work with pregnant women and their friends, their male partner, the father, of compassion. You listen. It's almost like you don't talk. You listen so much, you let them share their stories. And that's what every soul wants. It doesn't matter what your condition. The whole world wants somebody to hear them when they're hurting or scared.
Our goal here in our centers is that every person would feel safe, valued, and walk back out the door with hope that day. Because a high percentage of people that come in that we're serving are in fight or flight mode, right? So one way that we can help is at least help them get out of that place of fear and freeze. And so we're asking open-ended questions. And you're right, we're listening, but we really just want them to process out loud what they're thinking, what they're feeling, moment by moment. What would this decision be like today if you had to make this decision today? What could it be like in 2 weeks for you? Who would support if you're thinking this road right now? Who would support that? Who wouldn't? Again, we're just asking open-ended questions so that they process. I'm convinced if people care about women's mental health out there, they would consider how our approach of asking them to process what they're thinking out loud and just discuss and consider all of their options, that's good mental health for them right now, but also in the years to come. Because that's what we've seen too, is that people in the years to come recognize that the decision they made in a moment of panic or fear later can be seen as heartbreak to them and destructive to their either current pregnancy or current family. It comes out in a lot of different ways. And so I've seen that side of it too, where people come up and say, I've never told anybody this before, but I had an abortion and here's what I've walked through. Here's all of the ways I was addictive to different things because I was just trying to numb the pain of what I did.
I don't think, just what I've heard, I don't think one woman who has had abortion ever forgets it.
You don't forget. And more importantly, and I think this is true. I think the studies have shown and the data has come out, it's not uncommon for a woman to feel relief. She's relieved from this panic. She's in fight or flight or flight.
That seems strange for you to say.
But that sense of relief that she's been released from this trauma that she's facing.
Right.
The problem is those are short-term studies, and the long-term data is now very clear that the mental health conditions of women who've had abortions suffer. Higher rates of depression, higher rates of anxiety, higher rates of suicidal ideation. 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road, this is nagging at them. The grief is very real that these women are facing. Again, the abortion industry would tell you they have relief. See, everybody's happy about their decision, but they never follow the long-term data to show. And I was telling you earlier, I presented at a college campus a while back, and I got done and I left the room, and a man, an older man, followed me out. And he said, my children would be 22 and 36. 22 and 36. He, to this day, is feeling the grief. And he said, I forced it. I encouraged it. I feel the guilt and the weight of that decision on my shoulders every day.
Tell us about what happened with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services did with the $3 million critical medications.
Again, regardless of your opinion on abortion, this one is a shocking story in my opinion. Post-COVID, everybody remembers we were facing some shortages. Everybody had a toilet paper run, right?
Yes.
And they were worried
some
about...
Some of us are still stocking from 2020.
But we also were very concerned because we all, for the first time, found out many of our critical medications are made in foreign countries, and we were very concerned about supply chains and supply chain problems. So in 2023, $6 million was placed in the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services budget in order to stockpile critical medication reserves.
And that was for?
Critical medications, right? So fast forward, and unfortunately we have a pretty abortion-obsessed governor and her administration, and the only critical medications that they purchased.
The only thing that was purchased.
Three different grants were given, totaling $3 million, to stockpile the abortion pill.
Only one medication.
That's it. No diabetes medication, no heart medication, no antibiotics, no quote-unquote critical medications that most people would view as critical. So $3 million of your taxpayer dollars in the state of Michigan were sent to Northland Family Planning, Planned Parenthood, and the University of Michigan to stockpile abortion pills. And I think that most people should be outraged by that. First of all, the abortion pill is made in America, or it's made here. It's not made in foreign countries. Second of all, it's readily flowing through the mail as we speak. There's no shortage whatsoever. And yet there are people struggling to be able to get their actual shortages of medications out there. The FDA creates a list of medication shortages.
And it wasn't on the list.
No, of course not. Of course not. So I think that we should all be very upset by that, and I'd like to see the remaining $3 million pulled back from the budget and actually redirected toward things like antibiotics, heart medication, diabetes medication, things for which people will die if they don't have them.
Documented.
So this is part of the problem that we have with the abortion pill, is that it can be stockpiled, it can be stored, it can be stuck on your shelf and just in case, mm-hmm. and then who knows who gets a hold of it. It's not harmless. It's not a harmless drug.
What you mentioned a while back, you said, "Hey Jane," just in passing. What is Hey Jane?
Hey Jane, Aid Access, and a number of other Women on the Waves. There's a whole group of many different organizations that are doing everything in their power to profit off of the abortion pill and ship it anywhere, anytime to anybody that asks for it, including, in many cases, sex traffickers, abusers. We know for a fact that
not going directly to the end user.
They're not even going to the woman. They don't even verify that it's going to a woman. It's just anybody who gets online and orders it.
What's that? Bird shot? Yeah. You just cast
shotgun.
It. Shotgun.
Yeah. There are, and unfortunately, you know, again, if you care about women, it's not really a choice if your sex trafficker is forcing you to take the abortion pill or your abuser is forcing you to take the abortion pill. And in fact, interestingly enough, in 2019 in the state of Michigan, there was a man who was convicted of an illegal abortion because he got a hold of abortion pills and forced his 17-year-old stepdaughter to take them after he had impregnated her from rape. Mm. I mean, this is not what we want. This is not what we want for women. And so these pills need to be more highly regulated, in my opinion, and women need to be told of the dangers, real dangers in taking them, and about reversal.
Mm-hmm. That's right, and yeah. Pregnancy resource centers. Save the Stork lawsuit.
So I kind of briefly touched on that, and that is with regard to, again, abortion. Big abortion does not like the pregnancy centers because the pregnancy centers offer empowerment, help, hope,
alternatives,
and they are, in many cases, several states are actively pursuing and attacking the pregnancy centers with taxpayer dollars on the state websites. So the Save the Storks web lawsuit is designed to prevent state governments from, first of all, defamation, calling them fake clinics, and second of all, from creating tip lines. They're creating tip lines in many cases where abortion supporters can go on and complain about the pregnancy centers. And that's a problem because Google reviews are real.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they are.
So that's what that Save the Stork lawsuit is about. And, you know, there's a group in Michigan. It's now a new coalition called the Michigan Coalition for Pregnancy Wellness. The acronym, because everybody has to have an acronym,
that's right.
It's called MICO. And I believe, Bridget, your center is part of MICO.
We are a part of MICO. And one valuable part of that is, again, as collaborative centers in Michigan, we get to have a high standard of care for patients. And so what we can do is make sure everybody's at the highest standard of care when they are coming into one of our medical centers. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. Sharing best practices,
mm-hmm.
making sure that all of the centers are updated with the most recent data, things like joining together for lawsuits, things like legislative updates. I've been asked to come and brief the annual meeting that they have so that everybody can be brought up to speed. So MICO is doing a great job in trying to unify life-affirming care across the state, and I hope other states are working on that. But I'm very proud to be partnering with MICO and mm-hmm. with your centers, and I'm thrilled that we're doing that for women.
Yeah, we're coming towards the end of this hour. Genevieve, anything that we haven't touched yet? And then we're going to give Bridget the last word of talking about your centers. And also we want to, if there's any resource we talked about, APR.org, please somebody bring that up, or any other contact method.
So I would love to pitch Right to Life of Michigan's website. We have so many educational materials, so much good information on there, RTL.org. And I have to put a shameless plug in for the second biannual Michigan March for Life. 2023 was our first march. We're having one on November 6th at the State Capitol in Lansing. We would love for your listeners to join us at the State Capitol, because we need to be a voice for the voiceless. We need to stand in that gap and be a visible sign for life. Yeah. And I hope they can come.
It was a full group there last year. I was a part of that. And it was just peaceful and encouraging to see so many people caring about a little human in the womb, as well as the mom and the dad. You know, it's important to care about all of them.
Tell us about Life Resource Centers, and particularly your two centers that represent just two of 100 across the state.
Again, it's a privilege to be here, right, to provide information, especially right now if others are not providing this for women, giving them clarity. Is there a heartbeat? They need to know that for sure. Is that baby in the uterus? They need to know that for sure. And then how many days and weeks along is she? She needs to know that. And she finds that out for free at any one of our centers. That's huge. And then, again, for her to come in and feel valued while she's here, feel like this is a safe space for her to be honest and raw and real and process, hear her options, talk through those, again, with open-ended questions. She gets to guide and direct that conversation, and then walk back out the door with hope. Hopefully every single person walks back out the door with hope from here, whether that's one of the people in our family support services, or it's a staff person, it's a medical director, whoever it is, they need to feel like they're valued here and walk back out the door. That's what's important for the community to know and understand. And so help me, my heartbeat is for that one person out there that may not know that we exist and that we're here for them, and they're alone. That's the one that still needs to know and still needs to come in and still needs that hope and that support. And we want to be here for that one.
What a vast comparison between what you just described and taking an abortion pill by the toilet and delivering basically a miscarriage, induced miscarriage. You get to close.
Yeah, there is a stark difference between making a choice for life, making a choice for abortion. But I think people do need to know that there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people here to help. Bridget's too humble to talk about it, but the centers also provide millions of dollars worth of resources, diapers, car seats, all that kind of stuff, and at no taxpayer expense. That's why that fundraiser was so important, and I'm appreciative to everybody who came and donated, because these people do great work, and I really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
One of the takeaways we got today is if you can be an advisor, or if somebody has already taken that first pill in the next 24 hours.
The abortion pill reversal.org, and it will put across the country, any place across the country, they will direct a woman who has taken the first pill and changed her mind.
We're here at the Life Resources of Northern Michigan in Big Rapids, just one of 100 centers across the state of Michigan. We've been talking about this center. We've also talked about the abortion pill. And now you are informed. Continue your study and do what God calls you to do. I'm your host, Tom Majeure. Until next time, for Strong Tower Radio on location. Bye now.